temptation is a reality of life. Everyone experiences temptation. Jesus experienced temptation. You see it in this morning's reading. And Jesus resisted temptation by relying on God's word. So we can too. Amen. See, that's the simple, just do this and everything will be fine version of temptation. And it's kind of, it's even shorter than a Sunday school lesson. It's hollow. It's arrogant. And really, it's irrelevant as advice to people who experience real life temptation every day. So let's dig a little deeper into this story about what happened to Jesus. He was so hungry. I'm going to take you on a tour about how an early hearer of these words might experience the story. And then maybe how someone today reacts to the same thing. I'll try to use different voices to express the two times. First one will be from the past, second one from today. And any perceived bias in my voice is purely intentional. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, just like Elijah and Moses, they were completely connected to God. Just like the pastor at that really big church that just built a huge new building. Or maybe it's more like the people who faint on TV. Was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Wait, the Spirit led Jesus from a place of blessing to a place of danger? Is that right? Where the Spirit leads, we must follow. Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. That's a significant amount of time. It reminds me of the 40 days where Moses fasted on the mountain, and the 40 days Elijah fasted on the mountain. I know it's a number we talk about when we're thinking about a time of testing. This Jesus must be really important. A person could die if they didn't eat for 40 days. Jesus must have had water. God obviously kept him alive, even though he didn't eat or drink. Too often, we look for something simple that we can do when we read the Bible. And I don't think that the account of the temptation of Jesus lends itself to something simple. See, the introduction gets to it right away. It isn't about exacts. It's about what is significant about the descriptions. It isn't about defining what the Holy Spirit does or doesn't do. It's about the Holy Spirit's presence, even in the chaos. It isn't about scientific certainties. It's about remembering the past, understanding that Jesus was tested, and then being challenged to understand more about temptation and what to do about it. So the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And wilderness is, it brings up different images in our mind. The Bible passage here is trying to communicate some place where God is absent. In the Hebrew language, there's a phrase, or it's a word for this, but it's a long word, so it's more of a phrase. It's tohu vebohu. Tohu vebohu. It's this formless void that existed before God created the world. It's the place where there was no order, only chaos. As a matter of fact, our word chaos comes from the Greek word chaos, with a K, but chaos. And that word chaos is the same word as tohu vebohu in Hebrew. Same thing. Communicates exactly the same thing. It's a place where no one wants to be and no one would ever choose to be, but it's a place where Jesus was led. And I don't think that tohu vebohu is a place where we ever have to go though it may be a place where we sometimes feel like we are. But here's the thing in this reading. There's another part that makes you think. While Jesus was in tohu vebohu, the Spirit was there. If you ever feel like we're surrounded by chaos, that we're in this place, tohu vebohu, God is still not absent. Matter of fact, you know, this chaos, this formless void, following the story of creation, says that's where God begins to create. And then the devil tempted Jesus three times. First, he tempted a famished Jesus to turn stones into bread so he could eat. And Jesus responded with Scripture. It's from Deuteronomy 8. One does not live by bread alone. So here's a big question. Why wouldn't Jesus eat if he could? I mean, it had been 40 days. I think that's the temptation that gives me the most trouble to understand as far as temptation, really. Some say that if Jesus used his miracle ability to his own benefit, he would lose his credibility when he asked the disciples to deny themselves and follow him. But we're not talking about, you know, something extra, healing a broken arm or something. We're talking about, you know, turning a stone into bread so you can have something to eat. What's wrong with wanting to eat when you're hungry? And if Jesus could turn stones into bread, why didn't he do it for other hungry people? Or maybe he did. My best explanation is that Jesus wasn't going to do it just because the devil dared him to do it. And he knew he'd eat soon enough. He didn't want to play the game. But then there's the other two temptations, maybe a little easier to understand. The second one, where Jesus was tempted to take the easy route to power, had an easy answer. Jesus answered with Deuteronomy 13, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." I think that the whole reality that Jesus wasn't here as a political or military leader made this temptation easy to resist. I think that can remind us that attempts to rule politically and militarily by religious means aren't what God calls us to do, pure and simple. There's a straightforward one. Third temptation is kind of fun, actually. The devil twisted Scripture by trying to get Jesus to hurl himself off the peak of the temple. He quoted Psalm 91. "He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so you will not dash your foot against a stone." That's the eagle's wings song right there. And then Jesus responded with Deuteronomy 6, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." See, the devil tempted Jesus by using Scripture. He took the Bible and he twisted it into something that it's not. We're really good at that. Think about it. When we use the Bible to exclude or to harm, to marginalize, or to exploit anyone, we do the exact same thing. What else do we do? I don't know if these particular temptations are the ones that we resonate with, because turning stones into bread, none of us can actually do that. We can turn money into bread, or we can turn flour and yeast into bread. These temptations aren't really that clever. I mean, they're easy to see through. And you know, I think we're not easily fooled by them, but I think that there are other temptations that we have that aren't so easy to identify and to resist. Like the temptation to do nothing to care for others because we have so much to do ourselves. Take care of the people at home, because if you don't do that, you can't take care of anyone else. You know, there's a temptation to say that we've got to hunker down and we can't affect the world. We can't make the world a better place because it's so hard just to do what we do. or the temptation to say that you can't be an effective church unless you don't have any problems or unless you take care of your problems, your small ones, your big ones. Every church has problems. Every family has problems. Every government has problems, and you have to address those problems and continue to do the things that you're supposed to do. To reach out in love, to be a place of safety and kindness, to tell the good news to people. Or how about the temptation to assume that we've got it all figured out? Like going to Bible study, attending church, discussing God things with other people, you know, to help you understand more and more. But what if you've been doing that for a long time? As soon as we think we've got it all figured out, we lose the blessing of being on this beautiful journey. And then we stop. And I don't want to stop. I want to continue learning and experiencing and wondering. And that's what Lent is. It's an opportunity to journey, learn, experience, wonder. We're at the beginning of this journey. 40 days of Lent. A time to reflect and prepare to celebrate the resurrection. And during this time, we're going to be tempted. I don't know what exactly we're going to be tempted by. And I don't know what we'll do about it. We don't have to worry about the incorrect idea that God is up there like some kind of cosmic sheriff waiting for us to mess up during Lent or any other time. And maybe right now you can think of some things that you've been tempted by. You can think of the time that you resisted temptation. Pat yourself on the back. You can think of some temptation that you've yielded to. And not get too down on yourself. When we're tempted, I hope we'll remember that if we ever feel like we're alone in chaos, in this tohu vebohu place, the wilderness, that we're not alone. And when we fail, we'll remember that we didn't just send ourselves to the wilderness. We're not abandoned or alone. This week, let's spend some time paying attention to this journey that we're on, this Lenten journey, this faith journey. Let's put some more attention on caring for others and remembering that we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to be all perfect. We don't have to have it all set in place. And we don't have to know everything. And we don't have to look at every made or missed opportunity to love and say that it was some kind of test. Amen.